And welcome into the Pomp and Joe Show. Neither Pomp nor Joe is here. Joe is on vacation. Pomp will be in tomorrow. I am your substitute teacher, Jason Mackey. Great to talk to you on this lovely Monday. Hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. Austin Bechtold producing. How was your fourth limits?
Jason, the number one student is here to make sure that all the other students keep the substitute teacher. The respect is there for the substitute teacher today. Make sure that this show continues rolling in the right direction. Jason, I had a great weekend.
Good, man. Did you go to the 4th of July in Brentwood?
No, I did not. I had a banner
weekend. What, just the 40-tooth?
Like, I've been to the parade for a while. I honestly haven't gone in a couple of years. But growing up, I had gone every year. My mom used to run in the 5K. I always watch the fireworks from my house because I can see them clear as day from my house. Because Brentwood always does a really good job. It's really cool because I can see Brentwood's from my house. And then if I go across the street, I can see downtown's.
Oh, wow.
So I sometimes float back and forth
on
the 4th and check out all the fireworks displays.
Our little neck of the woods does the 4th of July the best. Don't come at me with your Cannonsburg nonsense or I don't know what happens up north, and I don't care. Limits and I are from the South Hills, neighboring towns. In Brentwood, we own 4th of July.
This was just the type of weekend for me because, you know, hanging out with the family, hanging out with friends.
It's awesome, man.
It was great weather.
Ugh.
We clinched the number one seed for Wiffle yesterday. Let's go. The Firebirds on top. Looking for championship number one and not losing the championship like we did back-to-back years so far. Third time, hopefully, the charm. It was a very, very good weekend for me.
Well, I'm glad it was a good weekend for somebody.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't for the local baseball team.
No.
Scoreless in Seattle.
They were sleepless.
No, they were scoreless limits.
Well,
I'm sure they slept.
Sleepless.
They did some sleepwalking. I saw that. I mean, they flew out to Seattle. They forgot to pack an important thing for their trip, and they couldn't go to CVS to buy any runs. It was a disaster. And not only that, things got worse, and we'll get into everything that happened against the Mariners. Obviously, very, very bad. The offense isn't good. We know this. It's the same thing. Anybody who thought that six games was going to change the course of the Pirates season, it's not. Stuff happens over the course of 162. But here's sort of the straw in the drink, so to speak. The Nationals, after the Pirates fell to the Mariners again yesterday, fired their GM and the manager. Mike Rizzo and Dave Martinez both lost their jobs. What a dichotomy. It is possible. Wouldn't you know it? In stark contrast, of course, to what we've seen with the Pirates. I don't understand it. I can't sit here in this chair and provide some sort of magic reason for how the dots connect. I can't. What I will say, my opinion, is that it is a series of bad trusting moves. Or a consistent theme of trusting too much, of being too patient. And that's something certainly we don't need to add fuel to the fire of criticizing Bob Nutting for how he's run the Pirates. This is not financially related. And you can bring up Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle, sure. Bob also paid a lot of money for them to go away. One of the things I'd argue about that regime and where it fell apart is hanging on too long, being too loyal when changes should have been made. And that's the same thing that governs what the Pirates are looking at right now. You see another team, the Washington Nationals, they're not having a great year. Things have not gone well since they won the World Series. I'm not going to get into the nuance of the Washington Nationals because, frankly, it doesn't matter for Pirates fans. What matters is what the Pirates are not doing and why they won't make a similar move. Go ahead. I mean, give me a logical reason for why Ben Cherington in year six of a rebuild should remain in this position. You're not going to have anything. You can point to some wins. Yeah, they've done some things well. It hasn't been a shutout. Unlike this weekend, they've actually scored some runs. Paul Skeens, great pick, not going to criticize. Connor Griffin, great pick, not going to criticize. They've gotten some out of the draft. Have they gotten enough? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Have they had some players who have come in here and performed well? Sure. Have they had enough? Give me a break. They've had pockets. You know, you can look at the final 60 games here, or the 20-8 start, or whatever. When you add it up, is it enough in year six of a rebuild? Come on. It's not even a serious question. And why are we continuing down this path? You have one organization who looks at things and they're nowhere near satisfied, nor should they be, in the Nationals. And you have another one that thinks it's going to be disruptive to a season, to a team. I have a bunch of thoughts going off of that. One, it should be disruptive. There's no reason to maintain what is happening. If what is happening stinks, change it. Yeah, the season sunk. I get that. It's not salvageable. It wasn't salvageable back then. They fired Derek Shelton at 12-26. And it's not salvageable because of what we're seeing now. A failure to build a strong enough roster. The failure to build a roster that is deep enough, dangerous enough, to separate themselves in some form of an identity. And yeah, the Pirates have pitched it. They fielded it. Under Donnie Kelly, of course. But we're talking about doing little pockets. We're talking about doing little pieces of things. They haven't done the whole thing. So I don't understand how you can sit here and believe that it's suddenly going to turn. And all of this started once again. Think about the timeline here of what we're looking at with Derek Shelton, Ben Cherington, and where this has gone awry. This offseason, the Pirates were left with a choice. They can continue down the same path or they can blow it up. Bob Nutting's choice was that they weren't going to blow it up and that they were close enough to winning that it would be almost debilitating, or it'd be more of a problem than it's worth to fire these guys. So they brought them back. You bring back the GM who endorses the manager. You start the season poorly. Nothing is done. They ride it out, ride it out, ride it out. And don't tell me that it was Ben Cherington who ultimately soured on Bob Nutting. I have a column on this on postgazette.com where I cite one of the quotes from my interview with Bob Nutting. After Shelton was fired, Donnie Kelly was promoted. It's I. I felt it was critically important that we move now. Certainly no later than now, because I believe we can still make a real impact in 2025. That's a direct quote from Bob Nutting. Not we, not Ben, I. So again, you have a general manager who endorsed the manager coming back for 2025, which was the wrong move. You had a general manager who didn't want to fire that manager, which was the wrong move. Further crushed their season. You have a general manager who hasn't been able to add any semblance of offense, which is your biggest weakness. And you have a general manager who hasn't done very well, done probably better than I give him credit for in the draft. That's fine. He also doesn't oversee it directly. You know, as Connor Griffin performs more, as Nick Gonzalez looks better, it might be fair to rehash that conversation. Not been an abject failure. Also not the point. The director of amateur scouting oversees the draft. That's Justin Horowitz. Joe Delacari was the former one, and the Pirates have certainly had their issues drafting well. Honestly, the thing that concerns me more is the trade deadline at this point. What do you do? Has Cherington done a good enough job at the trade deadline? Heck no. Come on. Cited in another story, he has traded for 13 bats within a week of the deadline during his time as Pirates GM. Eight of those have made it to the major leagues. Their combined wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference, 0.3. That's horrendous. Why are you going to allow another guy another swing at the pinata? Or allow the same guy another swing at the pinata was the metaphor I was trying to draw. Doesn't make sense. The Nationals see it. Why don't the Pirates? And I wish I had a good answer for you. My background as a reporter, like you were taught to try to make logical sense out of what you're looking at. My life is different now as a columnist and a radio show host, and my own opinion is that I can't. I got nothing for you. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. Anyway, there's an interesting dichotomy of things. We can talk about the Seattle sweep all day long. Well, we probably couldn't, actually. I think that would be terrible radio, and it would be a boring show. And I don't want to do it. But I do want to talk a little bit about where this leaves the Pirates. Bigger picture. Why we're here. All of that. Just an absolute, absolute mess. Limits, if you had to guess, like, and this is a serious question. I've thought about this a lot this morning, and I don't have a really good answer. Why are we here? Why are the Pirates continuing down this road? Do they genuinely think that Ben Cherington is the right guy for the job, or is it just easier to not make a tough move now?
Well, I think there's a multitude of reasons. One, it's because the current structure of GM and other people who have been in positions of power over the last 6 years are still here. And you would think that if half a decade hasn't proven that things are on the right track, why would a 6 year make much of a difference? So that's one. A lack of aggression by said general manager is definitely a significant portion of this. Not signing a free agent to a multi-year contract, which I think is just still so insane to think about. In a 6 year run, not one free agent. I mean, it's unfathomable.
Oh, you and your stability. Come on. Come on.
And the fact that, you know, they won't make a big trade. They won't make a big move to acquire
a bat. Do you want them to make a big trade?
For a bat with club control? Yeah, I do.
I don't.
Well, then how the hell are they going to improve this offense?
They're not.
I don't care about this year's offense. I care about next year's offense. And sometimes you have to make a deal with assets that you have this year, like Bednar 1 year after this, Santana 1 year after this, to acquire that bat that has multi-year control.
Limits, that's a great question, man. And it's one that I haven't even pondered. Do you want the Pirates to make a big trade at the deadline?
Yes.
No. Why?
I do.
I don't. Absolutely not. Not as long as Ben Cherington's in charge. I don't want him to fire that bullet now.
That's fair. I mean, I understand the skepticism around it.
I would rather... Because, I mean, come on. If you look at the end of the season, they're not going to get the 76 wins,
no.
Right? That's going to be a huge step back. I don't know how you retain the GM after the season. It should be a telltale firing.
It should be.
At that point, I want the new GM to make the move, whatever it is, to add a bat.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not confident enough that there's going to be a new GM here. I'm not. I mean, it seems like even just a week ago, there seemed like there was some comfort around the current GM. And it seems like there's also, at least Greg Brown has talked about it a lot and even asked the GM the question on his show this weekend, like, is there more of a chance this year that there's a big move made, maybe because of pressure on Cherington?
I know.
Or else he could be gone. So I don't want to say that there's going to be an Archer type of trade, like when Huntington and them felt the heat to be able to deliver. But it wouldn't surprise me if there is. I'm just concerned if Cherington can pull the plug on the right trade.
Oh, my goodness. Now you're scaring me. I mean, that's frightening. Now we're talking about upping the ante. Cherington hasn't made basic trades. Like, he turned Clay Holmes into Hoy Park and Diego Castillo. And now we're going to give him players who are actually productive at the major league level? And tell him to trade those guys? Say, look, this is how you extend the Paul Skeens window or actually make some use of it? Here's a guy who's been far better than Clay Holmes? I mean, they traded a guy with Tommy John, two Tommy Johns, and Jameson Taillon. I mean,
get back.
Well, I know. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I'm not. Cherington has never had this much clay to play with. Let's go with that. And it scares me what he's going to do with it, because, like, the lesser deals have netted nothing. A lot of these guys, you could make a case. You could make the case that Mitch Keller and David Bednar are better assets than Starling Marte.
You can make the case.
I don't know if they are.
I think they're close. I mean, they're both all-star pitchers.
Right. They're all-star pitchers.
Marte was an all-star for, what, 2 years?
Right, but you're dealing, a little bit more of a precious commodity, right? You're dealing starting pitchers. The contract situations are different. I'm just kind of mulling it over my head, but, yeah, like, I don't know if Ben Cherington has had a situation with as much on the line, as much to trade. I know the Pirates certainly haven't encountered a scenario where the stakes are higher. Like, they need this in a big way. They really need the offense to give them something. If they do, I think the Pirates can actually be a reasonably decent team.
I thought it was fascinating what Noah had in his story this week, talking to evaluators and GMs and just other sources from around Major League Baseball, basically saying that Ben Cherington overvalues his own assets and he overthinks when making trades, which basically, to me, says, oh, well, so Ben Cherington overevaluates the likes of, you know, whatever talent he might have, maybe Bednar, Keller, maybe trying to sell them out to be even higher assets than what they actually are. Plus, he's not going to accept a deal unless it blows him away and he feels like he is the winner of said trade. And I feel like that is probably, whether it's ego, whether it's overconfidence, whether it's your own self-doubt to make the right deal, which I don't know if those work in conjunction with each other, but let's hypothetically say they did. If that's the case, Ben Cherington should not be the one at all that should be in this position in year six whatsoever. And I mean, the data backs that up, but that just sounds like another counterpoint. Like, man, this guy just overthinks everything. Is that why he has not done diddly squat to improve this roster?
I think he's tried. I do think he's tried.
So do washing machines, Jason. Do they get the job done?
I know. Man, I'm not endorsing it. You stole that from Christmas Vacation.
Of course, you have to. One of the best lines ever.
It really is. It really is good. Worked really hard on that, Grandpa. Yeah,
so do washing machines.
What a great scene, too. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the whole movie is my favorite Christmas movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's easy, but I'm just thinking about, Dad, you taught me everything I know about exterior illuminations. Or illumination. Sorry, I'm a big movie quoter. I like it. No, but in all seriousness, it is just, it's terrifying to think what the Pirates are going to allow Ben Cherington to do. I don't think they're going to allow him to make a sizable move limits, but I think he's going to try. Like, if he comes back to Nutting with some giant trade that, like, Bob would have to sign off on, man, there's 0% chance they're going to allow Chris Archer 2.0 to go down. No way. I would hope not anyway. And you'd have to have a darn good reason. And if I'm Nutting, I'm sitting here thinking, this guy has not traded anything, has not made any formative move to improve the Pirates. And all of a sudden, he's going to come in here with his biggest one yet. And I'm going to say, okay? The majority of my fan base can't understand why this guy's in place right now. And so I'm going to allow him to make a seismic move. Like, the Pirates only have so many cards to play. If you're going to spend money, that's one thing. The Pirates aren't going to spend money. You have to trade smart. You have to draft smart. You have to develop efficiently and all that stuff. And so if the Pirates are going to improve their offense, they're going to be doing it by either developing a bunch, drafting a bunch, or trading smart. I'm sorry, they're not going to take a bunch of guys in the 2025 draft, develop them in time for 2026.
Regarding the Archer trade, how much of a difference do you think it is that they were buyers in that trade and significantly overpaid compared to now they're the sellers,
yeah,
and they're the ones that are giving up the assets looking for a significant haul? They're the ones that are looking for the Archer return, where they find the, lack of a better term, idiot on the block that's just looking to, you know, make a trade where it's like, I will give you $5 for 35 pieces of candy. Sounds pretty good. Sounds like a good bang for your buck.
Right.
And the one walking away realizes, yeah, I got the better of that deal.
Right. And make sure, what's the analogy there for Shane Boz? But you need to throw in something that's poisonous.
Yeah, the player to be named later.
Hang on. As long as you throw in a piece of candy with a razor blade in there, we'll have a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Be safe this Halloween.
Yeah. What are you doing? Sort of trade you making over there? I don't like the Archer deal as a comp for what they're doing, though.
No,
I don't either. I don't think it works. I mean, you're looking at, like, part of the Archer deal, and not to rehash this, but part of the reason why it was so bad is their own failed development. Like, the fact that Tyler Glasnow and Austin Meadows were even tradable is crazy. And I mean, the Pirates aren't going to be trading guys who were, you know, failed development projects. They have enough of those. Those guys aren't tradable, but you're trading some of the few success stories, right? Like, Mitch Keller actually figured it out. It's kind of cool. It's become a major league starter. whatever, you want to try to trade him into offense. They just haven't been able to identify any of those guys. You know, they thought Kanan Smith and Jigba was going to be like a, you know, couple-year substantive major leaguer. They thought Tucapita Marcano was going to be something. They thought Jack Sawinski was going to be a bat. I still think Jack Sawinski can be a bat, by the way. I think his problems are more what they've done to him, but that's a separate discussion. Anyway.
So Jack Sawinski is going to go back to San Diego, or he's going to go to the Dodgers, or he's going to go to the Tampa Bay Rays.
And he's going to figure it out?
And figure it out.
Wouldn't doubt me. Or wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt it. That's why I wouldn't trade O'Neill Cruz, man.
Well, yeah, you're also selling very low on O'Neill Cruz. I know. Now. It wouldn't make sense.
I know. I was on here yesterday afternoon, though. I had a couple calls about people that they would entertain trading O'Neill Cruz. They didn't think he could figure it out, and they would have no problem sending him on his way. I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I wanted to actually do that a little bit later in the show, talk about with O'Neill's throw yesterday. I mean, 105.2. And what he can do in the outfield. Like, I realize some of it's bad, and I understand the benching and the frustration, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I did want to do kind of a check-in on O'Neill Cruz. But right now, we got to get to our first break, but I want to put a question out there because Limits stoked something with me and maybe you as well, and I think there might be a divide on this. I'm curious where people come down on it. Do you want Ben Cherington to make a big trade? We think he's here. Until we're told otherwise, I don't understand why he's here. I don't think most do. But do you want him to do something big? Like, clearly the Pirates are not in a great spot. And so you can say, look, they need to take a big swing here and try to get back to contention for 2026. You could also look at Cherington's record with trades, specifically adding offense. It hasn't gone well. Limits wants to see them do something big. I do not. I'd rather see them play it conservative at the deadline and get a new GM here in the offseason and fix your offense then. And welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing your substitute teacher crew, although Limits is always here. I'm just popping in for the day. I'll be here Monday and Friday. Bob Pompiani will be by himself on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Got to do off the top. Which was an off-the-top mistake by yours truly, I suppose. Presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. A lot of Pirates talk. We started that in the opening segment. Can't not talk about the scoreless in Seattle weekend that the Pirates had, as well as the Nationals deciding to fire Mike Rizzo and Dave Martinez, and why the Pirates have not done the same thing. And we got into an interesting debate last segment. Do you want the Pirates to do something big? Have a couple of you waiting on hold to talk about that. Anybody else who wants to weigh in, 412-928-9370. Again, do you want to see the Pirates make a big trade, or would you rather sort of play it conservatively, get to the offseason, and maybe the general manager is out? Limits is in the aggressive camp. I certainly understand why you want to see them do something. They need to. I'd rather see them relax and take my chances with a new general manager being in that position this winter. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, first up, let's go to Danny in Pennsylvania. He wants to talk about either the trade or Chuck in Uniontown. What's up, Danny? You're on the fan.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I've been waiting for you to be on the radio so I could call you because I'm 57 years old and I grew up with the newspaper and I loved the newspaper. I loved all the columnists back in the day. And I loved when you get the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in the morning and you get the Pittsburgh Press in the afternoon. And the Sunday papers used to be just terrific, especially this time of year. The way you found out about the draft picks or what was going on in training camp was through all the great articles. That's all changed now because of the sports talk radio and the phone that's in your pocket with, you know, the Google feed. I mean, now you know everything there is beaten to death. So I have not read a newspaper in a long time. In fact, just yesterday I picked up a Sunday paper, and it is skinnier than the actual sports page used to be on the Sunday paper. But the other day in my news feed came up the article that you wrote about Chuck. And since, of course, I don't subscribed to the Pittsburgh Digital platform, I would click on it, and I'd get to read maybe two words of the headline, and then the box would come up from the bottom and say, you know, you have to pay whatever, $1.99 for 13 weeks. And I would do that like maybe 20 times until I could get the whole gist of the headline. And I don't know what it was, but it made me pony up my money. For only the second time ever have I paid for the Post-Gazette digitally. And
thank you for that, Danny. We appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to need you to move it along, though. We got a lot of calls and not a lot of time.
I would have never thought that I would have been interested in Chuck from Uniontown, you know, but something about it made me want to read that article. And it was an incredible article. All I knew is he had to be an elderly man. I didn't know any of those things about him.
Yeah.
You know, I know he's always the first one to call. And it was just a stroke of genius on your part to have that story's been sitting there for years, and Tim Benz, Joe Starkey, no one came up with it, and you still have to write about it. It was
wonderful. Well, those guys
done.
Do, and I'm going to cut you off here, Danny, and thank you. And those guys also do incredible work. Joe especially. I mean, Joe has been a mentor and an idol and a friend and all that stuff. And Tim does tremendous work, and he's a pain in the butt to compete against because he's really talented and works his tail off. So let's stop that there. And it's also not about me. It's about Chuck. He's the guy, man. I'm going to rein it in after that, because I want to give Chuck his love and his flowers, because Chuck is just a tremendous man. If you haven't read the piece, please do it. You'll hear from Chuck. I actually owe him a call. He called me while I was prepping for the show. I don't mean to big time Chuck, but and thank you for the call, Danny. I'm going to move on. But Chuck is just, you've probably read the story. You've heard Chuck. What an inspirational guy. There will be more about him. Chuck in Uniontown lives with cerebral palsy, has a better outlook on the world than a lot of us, an honest Pirates fan, an informed Pirates fan. Loved my time getting a chance to talk to Chuck, but it is all about Chuck. Jake in Robinson wants to talk about a Pirates trade. What's up, Jake?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. What's up?
So I don't want the Pirates to do anything because I'm 27 years old, and my entire life it's been disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And to see all the trades that the Pirates have done and to see how successful like those players have been, it's like and Ben Sherrington, he doesn't know what he's doing. If he does know what he's doing, then we just trade for prospects, and then we never hear from the prospects ever. Like, we trade away Garrett Cole. We trade away Austin Meadows.
Those weren't Ben's moves, but I agree with you on the lack of trade return, just so we're accurate.
Sorry, my bad. But the Pirates, my entire life has just been focused on the prospects and looking at the future. Well, my entire life, and it's not just Ben Sherrington's, regime, it's everybody's. The entire time I've been alive, it's always been looking at the future, and it's never been looking at the present. So clearly either they never want to be good or they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's probably the second one. You know, they want to be good. You know, I want to hit the Powerball. Limits wants to marry a supermodel, I think.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, I don't think they're actively trying to lose, but are they making decisions that begat winning? No, of course not. But I appreciate the call and the thought, Jake. I mean, I'm kind of with you. I think that's one perspective here, that you worry about trade return, and too many times you've come up empty. You know, the Pirates trade for somebody and you never hear about them again. I go over this stuff a lot when I'm writing, and you think about Jameson Taillon and what he became. I mean, he was a substantive draft pick, big-time draft pick for the Pirates, and he nets Roansy Contreras, Kanan Smith and Jigba, Miguel Yajure, and Michael Escoto. Three guys they DFA'd, and then a 23-year-old in Double-A with like a 712 OPS. That's not good enough. You know, Joe Musgrove, okay, great. They got David Bednar out of that, but what offense have they identified? The offensive players in that deal were Hudson Head, who was somebody that the Padres overpaid for, and then the Pirates put a high priority on. He flopped. And Andy Rodriguez, who I like Andy Rodriguez a lot, but he's not shown any ability to hit consistently at the major league level. And I'm not burying him, but they haven't gotten commensurate production out of what they're giving up. You know, this is a little bit reversed because it's trading a hitter, but Josh Bell, it's one of your best players at the time. You trade him for Will Crow and Eddie Yean. Eddie Yean is a reliever who may get here. It's been somewhat encouraging, but he's also still a middle reliever who may get here. We don't know any sort of success that he's going to have, and Will Crow is out of baseball. They just, you know, it's been a bunch of trades that hasn't brought back enough. So do you want Ben Cherington to make another one? Let's continue. Dave in Chalk Hill wants to talk about a Pirates deal or no deal. What's up, Dave?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I agree, that was an excellent article on Chuck.
Oh, thank you.
But as far as the Pirates, they shouldn't be making a deal. They need major league bats now.
They should be making a deal, you think, Dave? You said should.
They shouldn't.
Because should. Okay.
The bats they need, people aren't going to give up. People that are in a pennant race have the better hitters. They're not going to give them up for, you know, and hopefully the Pirates can shed enough payroll by getting rid of Heaney and Pham and Fraser and maybe Bednar. I'd love to see him get rid of Hayes.
You know,
they could just keep everyone. And then maybe in the offseason, you look at Keller and Reynolds to trade them and maybe get, you know, revamp your lineup somehow. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go that far in terms of the offensive trades. Like, I don't want to trade Brian Reynolds. I know he's having a down year. Ke'Bryan Hayes makes sense for me. I think he's a good player in the wrong fit. They don't need somebody to play gold glove defense at third base. They need somebody to hit. I'd rather entrust that position to somebody who's going to add to my lineup, and I think they can trade him, and who knows what holds up with his back. If you've got suitors, which I think they do, I would trade Hayes. But yeah, I mean, my opinion is to take a more conservative approach. Trade the guys on expiring deals, try to trade Hayes, and that's it. I'd rather them hold off on Bednar, Keller. If you can trade Hayes, cool. You know, take a more conservative approach because I just don't trust Ben Cherington's track record on trades.
Right, and I'd actually like to see him sign at Falefa.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think he wants to sign back here, Dave.
I think he'll want to be a free agent.
As far as the Pirates, if they don't significantly increase payroll next year by $50 million at least, it's just rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic. Unless they want to spend more money and get some players in here, forget it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're waiting for the Pirates to spend a lot of money, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they're not going to. They're not going to significantly increase payroll. I mean, when has that happened? I'm not excusing it. It's just if that's your barometer for the Pirates being any good, I'd find another team to root for. Because, like, they're not going to.
I've been rooting for them for 60 years, and I've thought about moving on to Cleveland, but it's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. I don't mean to be dismissive of that idea. It's just, you know, they're not. They're not going to spend a bunch more than they are. If that bothers you, which I don't blame people for feeling that way, move on. Root for another team. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I can't sit here and criticize them enough to change their spending habits. You can hope that they win small market baseball and do that better. That's a fair ask. They haven't done that nearly well enough. Like, nobody's yelling at the Cleveland Guardians to spend more money. They spend, I don't know what, you know, over the past 5 years or during the Cherington tenure, that might be an interesting stat pool at some point. I have the stuff looked up on my laptop to compare just over the past 6 years, how much they've spent. Now, they've spent more than the Pirates. Is it significantly more? I don't know, but they've made a lot worse decisions than the Pirates. I know that. I want the Pirates to make smarter decisions. I want them to do things that make sense. I want them to make a trade and actually bring talent back in that trade. They haven't done a good enough job of that. All right. Gary in Gibsonia wants to talk about a Pirates trade. Gary, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Well, I was thinking about the song Kenny Rogers, "Know When to Hold, Know When to Fold, Know When to Walk Away."
I played that to my kids the other day. Good call.
Yeah, cool. I'm 69, and I played baseball in college back in the 70s. And as I look at this, here's what I was going to say to you. They should, just like what you said, they should hold on their players. They should wait out the year, and they're going to get rid of, hopefully, get rid of the GM, just like Washington just did. And I think what they can do in the interim is get rid of, obviously, Heaney. But what I would do is move Triola back to AAA, see if they can get a bat and batting again, bring up York, put Canaria back into AAA, bring up Sawinski and see, give him one more try, and if he can't make it, get him off the 40. Get rid of Pham, no matter what, even if you have to DF, and bring up Solak. He's a journeyman as well, but he's hitting 340, 350. Trade Frazier, bring up Malcolm Nunez, and let him get a little taste and see what you have. That's another person or another player that they need to know whether keep him on the 40 or get rid of him. They need to do a little bit of looking at their AAA players that they have and bring people up from AA to AAA and stop filling it with people that may not be major league ready. The last thing I'm going to say is our illustrious general manager said that everybody's looking for hitting. If everybody's looking for hitting, nobody's going to give up hitters right now. And I think we have to wait till the off season, Jason.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gary. And I agree with you on some of the moves. We'll get down into the nuance a little bit later. I do have to get to a break here shortly. Malcolm Nunez is an interesting one. 820 OPS, but he has only 2 home runs, 18 doubles. I might take a look, just not now. There's a lot of season left. They need to get through the trade deadline and play some guys who have been performing well. But thank you for the call, Gary. Appreciate it, man. All right. It's good chat. Good chat. Appreciate the different perspectives here. We'll get in and out of that topic throughout the day today. I think it's an interesting one. And bat around the Pirates stuff, frankly. They haven't scored a lot, but they've sure been interesting. Want to talk also about Paul Skeens and a quick hook yesterday. I didn't love it. I didn't love how, well, past couple starts, how they've handled Paul Skeens and just the general kid gloves treatment of elite pitchers right now. Talk about the MLB All-Star game. Paul Skeens was named to that. Should he start? Let's have that debate a little bit. Clayton Kershaw will be going. Kind of disappointed that Andrew McCutchen won't be going. There is a reason. I'll explain that. We'll get into some Steelers talk later on in the show. Expectations for Aaron Rodgers as well as TJ Watt. A national insider dropped some information, however small it may be, about Watt, some optimism surrounding him on Saturday. We'll get into that as well as what we want to see happen with TJ Watt. Kevin Gorman from the Trib will join me at 11 a.m. That's just about 8 minutes from now. And Brooke Pryor from ESPN will hop on at 1 o'clock as we move into some Steelers talk. They'll both appear on the Fan Hotline. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And our six-pack is brought to you by Bet365. Love it. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at 93.7thefan.com's contesting page. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Limits, this weather's killing me, man. I need a cool down.
Oh, I love it.
Oh,
yes. I would rather have this than like 20-degree weather in the winter any day of the week.
Man, can we have like 75?
Yeah, 75 is fine, but I'm completely all right with like 80, 85. 90 is where we start to push it, but I'm completely fine being outside in this type of weather. As long as I have a water with me, I'm good.
All right. Well, stay hydrated out there, friends. Today's weather, it's brought to you by Myers Law Group, of course, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny and a high of Benny Cunningham, 89. Oh, we are pushing 90 indeed, but it's great weather for Bob and Malzy to golf.